I Am the One Entrepreneur Edition is brought to you by Try Business School. Get your free five-part mini course, The Blueprint for Building a Thriving Business. Visit iamtheone.fm/blueprint to get access.
I'm Billy Murphy, and I'm the one.
Entrepreneur Edition, a show that explores the journeys of business owners who decided to be the one to make life better for the people they serve. I'm your host, Sonia Thompson, and today's guest is Billy Murphy. Billy is the founder of Forever Jobless, where he helps other entrepreneurs achieve the same status. He's also a serial entrepreneur, having built more than 20 e-commerce stores, in addition to a poker training and media company, which he grew to a seven-figure business in only its second year. We can learn a ton from Billy, in particular, his approach to strategic risk-taking. But before we dive into the interview, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Try Business School, which is all about helping you get the customers you want and keep them coming back for more. And to help you with that, I've got a free mini course for you, The Blueprint for Building a Thriving Business. It comes from lessons learned from interviews with more than 100 entrepreneurs, including a good chunk who built multi-million dollar businesses. In addition, the lessons are supported by science-backed data to help validate why the framework will bring you the results you're looking for. So head on over to iamtheone.fm/blueprint to get instant access. All right, let's get to it. Here's Billy.
Hey, Billy, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. All right. Well, let's go ahead and start peeling back those layers. Tell me about your business, Forever Jobless.
So Forever Jobless kind of started as a just a side project where I talk about business. I talk about a lot of, you know, higher level concepts of business and kind of how to think about business, less of the, you know, tactics and marketing and stuff like that, more of the, you know, what businesses you should go into, what businesses shouldn't you, and why, and kind of the decisions behind, you know, why people do certain things in business. And yeah, so blog, podcast, and have an incubator program there.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So what would you say is a specific problem that you solve for the people that you serve? And it might be different, I guess, for the different programs that you offer.
Yeah, I saw most of the people, you know, most of my audience is either newer or intermediate entrepreneurs, and you know, most people were going into businesses that they shouldn't have been in. And so I noticed a problem where people were getting caught up in the hype of, you know, start this type of business, start this type of business. And a lot of times people were being convinced to start on a certain platform rather than like, well, why are you actually in that business? And so, you know, most of the people who read my post or listen to the podcast, I'll get emails and they'll say, hey, I'm doing this type of business. You know, here's why I'm doing it. And a lot of times you can ask a couple questions and find out that they're in the wrong business. And so I found it was a pretty big problem I saw.
Got it. So whenever they're in the wrong business, are they just entering into it for the wrong reasons, or they're just following a blueprint necessary that somebody recommended that they follow?
Yeah, a lot of times what happens is the kind of make money space online is so popular. A lot of times the people teaching the make money stuff online have not made money outside of selling people to make money. So
Right. What
happens is the people that they see with all the like, hey, I make all this money online, you should do it too. What happens is like information gets passed down and nobody really knows why they're doing anything. They just like, oh, well, some guy who supposedly makes a lot of money told me this is a good business to do. And so I did that.
Got it.
But then you ask a couple of questions and people learn pretty quick. Wait, I don't actually know why I'm doing that type of business. So
Got it. So what made you decide that you were going to be the one to solve this problem for all these people? I guess they were emailing you and contacting you, huh?
I was getting a lot of emails and stuff. And then I just enjoyed talking about business. So I've had a number of businesses, and I would always have friends, you know, asking me business questions, and I'd find myself writing like, you know, 5,000 word emails to them, like just for fun, because right. I liked it. I was on internet forums, you know, entrepreneur forums for a while, way back on, like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I was like one of the, you know, regular contributors, you know, a decade ago when he had a forum. And so I've always just enjoyed writing and talking about business. And so even when I was just starting out, like I was always in discussions and enjoyed kind of writing about it. And it's funny, when I was beginning and didn't know much about business, kind of writing back and forth with people was how I learned about it. And so I think it just kind of, you know, I got used to, you know, communicating in that way and just enjoyed it. And so before I had a blog, I was actually kind of writing blog posts to friends, but I just wasn't publishing them anywhere.
Okay.
So I was like, hey, here's an idea I had. Like, let me send it to 10 of my friends who are trying to get into business. And, you know, people just kept telling me you should start publishing this kind of stuff. And so it, you know, a couple of years ago, four or five years ago, I just started putting a couple posts up on Forever Jobless and just kind of snowballed.
Sweet. Now, you also mentioned that you have an incubator program. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So that started kind of in a similar way. It was just a lot of emails coming in and people are like, hey, I want to work with you. And I didn't, you know, Forever Jobless was the side thing. You know, I did the business stuff. So, you know, I put a group together, like a beta group last year for the incubator. And, you know, the difference I saw a lot of programs where it was like you buy a course or you get coaching or whatever it may be. And it was hard to, you looked at the results coming out of a lot of the programs and you saw nobody was getting results. And, you know, I looked at why, okay, well, lots of times they were either learning from someone who hasn't done what they're trying to teach, or there's not a lot of help in terms of, in other words, it's easier to make a lot of money if you're selling information than if you like get involved and help people and like make sure they're succeeding, because there's more leverage, right? Like, so if I went and sold like, you know, 10,000 courses, easier to make a lot of money for me, but worse for the people trying to start a business. And so I started something where we actually changed this format this year, where I'm on calls with everybody every week, where they have a private group where they can send me messages every day. And so like I'm very involved because I actually like really want to help them. I like this stuff anyways, like I do it for fun. And so yeah, we started the second round, not this year, actually last year, 2016, and we had a group and just a smaller group, a few dozen people. And every week we're on calls together. Every day we're in the forums together and basically talking them through ideas. And so that, you know, if you don't have a business idea, I'll help you come up with one. If you do have one, I'll help talk you through it. Like, here's what I would do. Here's why. And just kind of walking them through those steps, because I find that even if I gave somebody kind of like a, you know, a format, here's what I would do in a business, it's too general in terms of when they get in the weeds,
right.
They're still going to come up with, you know, 50 different things that they could go one way or the other. And so, you know, I'm just kind of there to say, well, okay, here's where you're at. Here's what I would do. Here's why. And just give them kind of another voice on what they're doing. And so it's been great. I mean, we've had people launch 6- and 7-figure businesses out of there, and it's done really well.
Very good. Very good. It sounds like you're doing some good work. So we appreciate that. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk more about your experiences as an entrepreneur. So it sounds like you've got quite the long history in doing it. So what would you say overall was the biggest barrier in mindset that you had to deal with, and how did you overcome it?
I guess, and I think we all have this to some degree, and I think I still have this a little bit, is ideas. You know, it's always, it takes about the same amount of effort, whether you're going after a huge idea or a small idea. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I will find myself getting caught up in like, here's a small business idea that makes a lot of sense. Business ideas are easy, right? There's a million of them out there, but a lot of times we focus our energies on a very tiny idea because it seems easiest. And sometimes they are a little easier, but you know, you can go after, you know, $1 million idea, $10 million idea, $100 million idea. And a lot of times they're not 100 times harder. I think we get caught up in, you know, it's easy for us to start a blog, right? Like there's no barrier to entry. And so I think that's why most people get caught up. I'll do that. That sounds easy. That sounds like an easy way to make money. And it doesn't work that way. Because there's also like 1,000 times or 10,000 times as many people doing the same exact thing. And that's right. Why a lot of people run into problems. But, yeah, I think just thinking bigger. I think, you know, I didn't grow up around entrepreneurs, so I've kind of just learned the hard way, either learning by trial and error and failing a lot, learning by talking to people kind of going through the same stuff as me, as we've, you know, friends through the years kind of going through the same process and launching their own companies. But yeah, just kind of trying to think bigger. And as I see, y'all see friends, you know, launch a, you know, $20 million, $50 million company, they didn't necessarily work harder. They just worked on a better idea, like a bigger idea, where it's, you know, you can put in the same amount of effort as somebody doing much larger ideas, but it really doesn't take a lot more effort. It just takes a different strategy, you know, maybe more capital, whatever it may be. But yeah, just trying to think a little bigger.
Did you have to start intentionally pushing yourself to go beyond what your initial instincts were, like if you felt like they were too small or that you should push the envelope a little more?
Yeah, I mean, I still find myself doing that. I still, you know, I'll look at certain ideas and I'll say, I think the first instinct is always like, oh, I know how I can make that $1 million business, for example, because I've already started $1 million business. So it's, but a lot of times it's, well, you shouldn't look at it like that. How do you make that a $10 million, a $50 million, a $100 million company? And so I still find myself in that situation where, but I can relate to the people starting up who are like, I just want to make $1,000 a month. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's easy for me to tell them like, don't do that. You know, why would you want to start a $1,000 business? Why don't you start a $10,000 or $20,000 a month business? But then if I look at myself, well, you know, I've got friends or mentors that are looking at me the same way. Why are you going to start $1 million business? Why would you not start a $10 million or $100 million business? And so, so I still struggle with the same things, just in a different place, than people just starting out for the first time.
Okay. Now let's talk about habits, for a minute. So you've started several businesses, you're very hands-on with your incubator program and you're doing a lot. Is there one habit or a suite of habits that you, do or have that makes it possible for you to keep everything together?
Yeah, it's, there's a couple things that vary all over the place. I was always shiny object entrepreneur, like unorganized, like, you know, balls everywhere. But what's helped me a little bit is helped me a lot is, one, planning everything the night before. So whatever I want to do the next day. And also every week I plan the whole week out. And so those things seem small and like a lot of people probably do them, but as more and more things get on your plate, it becomes harder to manage. And then, another thing I started doing about a year and a half ago is every single week, when I plan the week, I'll email a friend and basically tell them like what I'm trying to accomplish in the upcoming week, what I accomplished last week and why I'm doing it. Okay. And so I think that's helped for clarity mainly, because a lot of times I think we all kind of get tunnel vision and like, you know, we're going after a goal or like we just get caught up in being busy. And a lot of times we forget like, wait, okay, why am I doing these things this week? Like are these helping me reach my goal? If they're not, like, why am I doing them? And, or has the strategy changed based on the feedback I'm getting from the actions I'm taking? Is it not working as well as I thought? If not, I need to change my strategy. If it's working really well, why am I not doubling down and like cutting out other things? Single week has helped a lot because, I feel like a lot of people go head down and then they put their head up at the end of the year and be like, oh, I didn't accomplish anything this year. I was really busy all year, but I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And so I try to do it. Catch myself sooner and say, oh, that was not a good week. Here's why. And fix it for the next week.
Now, how do you decide? Because you mentioned, so I'm guessing it kind of wraps into this process a little bit. How do you decide when it's time to start a new project, start a new business, or to double down a little bit more on what you're already doing?
Yeah, so it depends what stage of business you're at. So it's harder if you're in the startup stage because there's so many different angles you could go, so many directions you could go. So it's kind of like to throw stuff at the wall, see what works. If it works, you know, look further into it, double down on it. If it doesn't work at all, get out quick.
Right.
You know, it becomes a little easier the further you go in business because you know some things work. You just have to say, okay, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to do more of this. We're going to hire somebody to scale this up. In the beginning, it's kind of, that's the hardest stage in terms of like knowing what to work on because you have 50 options. Like, right, if we start a project, we could say, here's 20 different ways we could market this business. What are we going to do?
Okay.
And there's no good answer a lot of times. So we have to look at, okay, what's worked for other people? What are our skills? Like, how do our skills match up with that? Because I see a lot of people a lot of times will all get caught up in, well, everybody seems to be doing really good with this, so we should do this. But if our skills don't match up with it, right? Like video marketing is very, very popular right now. I'm not the best on video, and so I don't do video marketing because plenty of people do really well at that. I'm a little bit better at writing, and so I try and stick to that. So it's a combination of kind of matching up what we're good at, what we enjoy doing, and then along with what's working.
Got it. Now, so what would you say is your superpower? Is it the way you're able to communicate through your writing, or is it another skill that's sort of behind the scenes with your business?
Yeah, I'd say I'm very, very good at helping people kind of realize if what they're doing makes sense or not for them. So for example, if somebody says, here's my goal, here's what I'm trying to accomplish, I can pretty quickly tell them if what they're doing is going to match up with that or not. And through writing, I think I do a pretty good job of writing, explaining so that people can understand, how to think about certain things rather than I don't try to tell people here's what you should do. It's more of well, here's how you should think about it. Because if you tell people what to do, they know for a second, okay, I should do this right now. But if you teach people how to think, they can think forever, in the same way with the same thought process.
Right. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about relationships. And I guess there's a balance that you have to strike as an entrepreneur, to build your network, learn from other people, have accountability partners like you have, but also doing the work, because you can spend a lot of time networking and talking to others and building relationships in no time working. What would you say is, how do you strike that balance of what you need to be spending time and investing your time in and when?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because I think I used to get caught up in, I'd go to all the conferences and network, and I'd feel like I was being productive. And it was great, met a lot of good friends, had a lot of fun, but I wasn't actually doing anything. And so a lot of times, you can equate networking to not working. I've heard that term. And that's what I was doing. I was going and having fun and partying with people at conferences. But when I come back, you burn 3 or 4 days, and it was a fun 3 or 4 days. But come back and be like, okay, I didn't actually do anything. I got a couple ideas that I could theoretically implement, but I won't actually have time because I've already got too much to do that's already working. So the last couple of years, I haven't gone to any conferences for that reason. I felt like, I built up a really good network. I always enjoy meeting new people, but it wasn't, wasn't doing anything for my business and me necessarily. And so I spent a lot of the last couple of years just writing and traveling and just kind of working on things that I wanted to do. But yeah, I think building up your network makes a lot of sense. But it becomes easier. There's some things that I think, once you get to a certain point, it's just more difficult to network. And then also any events, or I guess I wouldn't call it an event, but, now, if I want to hang out with people, I'll just throw an event here in Austin and everybody comes here. And so it's easier. So, for example, I'm having a thing in March. And so there's probably 15 or 20 people going to fly in, and we're all going to hang out and just rent out a mansion and hang out, where you save a lot of time. You invite specifically the people that you really want to hang out with. And, you don't have to, fly around going to conferences and things like that. And so just trying to get more efficient with it, I think, helps.
Very good. What would you say are your three keys to success that you've picked up over all these years and from talking to all these other entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I'd say one is, I don't think I fear risk very much in terms of, and a lot of people take that the wrong way. And I'm not a crazy gambler. It's more of I'm okay with failing and I'm okay with losing money, because if I make if they line up with my goals, I'm okay with losing a little bit of temporary money or time. Doesn't matter. It's much worse to pursue something that's quote unquote safe that doesn't actually get me to my goals. And I think that's the way that a lot of people operate. I think that's helped me a lot. I come from a background as a professional poker player, so I got more comfortable with risk. It doesn't really affect me that much. I think another one is I'm very, very analytical. So I guess that can be a benefit and a curse as well, because I can look at a situation and know the optimal route a little easier than other people maybe. But at the same time, sometimes it's no good to just sit there and constantly analyze every decision. Your mind kind of never shuts off, never stops working on that kind of stuff. Yes, for three. I'd say learning from people that have been where I want to go. I think that's been really helpful. Just making sure that, if you're seeking out advice from someone, that they've actually done what you want to do and not just talked about it.
Got it. Well, I'm going to go back to what you mentioned about developing a high affinity for risk. Now, you did it by being a professional poker player, which sounds like a super cool job. Are there
That's
other
fun.
things that you have done or that you recommend that other people do to get more comfortable with risks and sort of stepping outside of their comfort zone?
Yeah, I don't know, 'cause that was probably like a like throwing yourself in the risk deep end, I guess, is like playing professional poker, and it wasn't actually a risky job. Like, I worked myself up from playing for pennies. But it was a way that, like, every decision you make in poker is like there's a mathematical expectancy to the decision you make, and so it gets you thinking about risk in a very high level, where you don't view it as risk. You view it as, I have a 55% chance, and here's the money in the pot, and here's what's going to happen. So it's like, it's very analytical. That's kind of where my analytical, background comes from. But I guess so I have a concept this is something I tell friends a lot who want help thinking about risk, kind of risk reward. I have a concept I talk about called monopoly money. And I feel like most people, if they pretended the money they had was monopoly money, they would play a significantly better game at life, like in terms of reaching their goals. And so what I mean by that is, let's pretend there's a person that has whatever amount of money in this pretend safe pile, right? Say you have $100,000 saved, and you say, you know what, I don't want to lose this $100,000, so I'm just going to put it in the bank and I'm never going to do anything with it. That's the way most people play the game. And it sounds silly talking about it. Like, if you were talking about a game of Monopoly and you just said, I'm never going to invest in anything, I'm just going to save it right here so I don't lose it, well, you're definitely going to lose the game, like guaranteed to lose the game. But what happens is, if you know your person had a goal, I want to be worth $10 million, and you have $100,000 and you're just keeping it safe, well, you're guaranteed maybe not to lose the $100,000, but you're guaranteed to lose the game. And so I think that's the way most people think about it, is I just want to protect what I have. But they don't realize, because again, we're so head down a lot of times, is they're guaranteed to lose, or at minimum prolong the game so long, where that's why most people don't retire until 50, 60, 70s or never. Because it's better to start taking, bets that actually make sense. So, for example, use that $100,000 to help you reach your goal. Take $10,000, make a risky bet that's, actually going to help you reach your goal. Take $20,000, make a bet to help you reach your goal. Where, again, the more people get used to taking these risks, they'll realize they aren't really risks. It's riskier to never risk anything and guarantee you lose the game.
And I really like how the way you were framing it in that it's not taking blind risks and just doing something that is seems like a big leap. It's not necessarily just always leaping with no safety net. You're actually weighing the costs and, using data to help you figure out, is this something that can actually work or is this something that, oh, I could lose my shirt. But it's more of a measured risk taking, but not necessarily, blind jumping.
Totally, 100%.
Well, Billy, this has been great. Where can people find you?
You can go to foreverjobless.com, and they can subscribe to the newsletter there. That I have a podcast. We do podcasts in seasons, so we do like a couple months, and then we're off for a while. But they can subscribe at Forever Jobless on iTunes. But yeah, most of the stuff I do is write the blog post at foreverjobless.com on the newsletter.
Sweet, sweet. And what can we expect to see from you in the future?
New podcast soon, the next month or so. New incubator coming out in April, and then just a lot of doing a book this year. So hopefully January, probably January next year, or early like Q1 next year. Hopefully we'll have a book out.
Very good, very good. All right. And then before I let you go, I have one other question, just to dive into your head a little more. And that's to deliver a line from a movie that sticks out to you and explain why you chose that one.
Yeah. So I thought about this when, before we chatted, and I think the line that came to mind was, and it's similar to what we talked about in the beginning. There's a line from Rounders, a poker movie, and the line is something along the lines of, if you can't spot the sucker in the first 30 seconds at the table, that means you're the sucker. and so I think it's related to like when people doing business in business opportunities or doing things online, like if you don't know like who's getting the best part of a deal, like it's not you. And I think if people thought about that more, they'd realize like, wait a minute, like who's the sucker? And if you have to ask yourself, I think if we were more aware of like who's getting the deal, I think it would help us all a lot.
Definitely. Oh, I've never heard that before, but it's a great line. It's a great line. And it really starts to make you think and think about how you're approaching each relationship, each situation very differently, more strategically.
100%. Yeah. It's a good movie. Check it out.
Definitely. I will. Well, Billy, this has been great. Thank you again for stopping by and sharing your wisdom and experiences with us. It's been super helpful.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Billy had so many cool things to share, but there was one thing that stood out to me in particular, and that brings us to today's I Am the One challenge. How can you take your current ideas about how to build and grow your business and make them even bigger? One of the things Billy mentioned is that the work to build a $100,000 a year business versus $1 million a year business is the same. It's just a matter of how big your ideas are. So brainstorm at least 3 ways to make your current ideas make an even bigger impact. And once you finish brainstorming, head on over to iamtheone.fm/blueprint to get your free mini course. It'll help get you in the right frame of mind to start thinking bigger. Until next time, keep working on building your dream business so you can make life better. Somebody's waiting on you. Thanks for listening.